Today we're going to talk a little bit about the crucifixion and the resurrection together in about 15 minutes. So I'm going to share with you something that sort of pulls these two ideas. We had the crucifixion last week for Youth Sunday. By the way, thank you for paying the ransom to get me back. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here right now. I appreciate it. It was $1,500 plus. I don't know the exact, what was it, $1,500 and something. So that was a lot, and I wasn't sure what would happen there. So really, thank you. Well, as Sarah talked about with the kids, there's a game most kids know that's called Truth or Dare. Has anybody out there, out in the congregation, ever played Truth or Dare? Okay, so many of you have. All right. Well, when you play Truth or Dare, you ask someone, what do you want? Do you want a truth or do you want a dare? Truth means that you have to answer truthfully any question someone might ask you, however lewd or embarrassing that question might be. A dare means that someone's going to ask you to do something probably really crazy that because you agreed to the dare, you're going to have to do it no matter what it is. So, for instance, my son, and this is when they were really little, long ago took a dare. He took the dare because he was afraid of telling the truth, because he was afraid someone in the group would ask him if he liked a certain girl in elementary school, and he did, and he didn't want to lie. So instead of taking the truth, he took the dare, and the dare was that then the kids asked him to do a chicken dance around one of the teachers, which he did. He'd rather do that. And they asked him, why do a chicken dance around someone when you could tell the truth that you like the girl? He says, well, Mom, it's embarrassing to tell the truth. And I said, isn't it embarrassing to do a chicken dance around a teacher? I don't understand this game because I'm probably too old. So, but the biblical understanding of truth means non-concealment, no hiding, the disclosure of the true or real state of affairs. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard, declares John, that God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. That's the message. So there's no hiding. There's no darkness. The full or real state of affairs is revealed. And sometimes that's kind of hard for us to take. Can you think of a time when you didn't want to know the full or real state of affairs? I can think of a lot of times for me when you don't open the bills right away. Okay, I really don't want to know the full or real state of affairs here. Or if you gain 5 pounds and you don't diet because you convince yourself that the scale is broken or your pants must have shrunk or something. It's not the full or real state of affairs. It's just too painful. Every time you close your eyes on a roller coaster, right? I don't want to see that next dip or that next turn. I don't want to know the full or real state of affairs. But in a more serious vein, who likes to be told that they're a workaholic and they need to do something about it? Or who wants to take a hard look at one's marriage or family and realize that although the outside might look great, on the inside things are falling apart? So those are all places where we have to really take stock of the truth, because it's not always easy to deal with the truth. Today we're dealing with two very real truths, the cross and the resurrection. And both are true, and both, for certain reasons, are hard to handle. Both the cross and the resurrection require a truth and a dare. Here's why. The truth of the cross is hard to deal with because I don't like to look at it. I don't like to look at the cross. I don't want to see myself as having any liability for the death of Jesus. I don't want to admit that. Jesus hangs there on the cross and tells me who I am and what I am capable of doing. The cross reveals to me the grotesqueness of what occurs when I'm separated from God. Jesus shows me this in his own being as he hangs there. And yet I have to look at it, right? The dare of the cross is to actually look at the truth of who I am without God. When I look at the cross and I see Jesus suffering there, I see the truth I don't want to see. I get the reality of life without God, the hell of that. I see Jesus experiencing what I deserve, and that truth terrifies me. So the cross is straight up holy honesty. What I mean by that is God is saying, you blew it, loud and clear. There's no denial. There's no chicken dance on God's part, trying to somehow soft pedal the truth of how separated I am from him to make it easier for me. No, the cross on the one hand should terrify me, a truth that is hard to look at. Scripture says if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But God says to you and to me, look at it. Look at the cross. If I refuse to look at it, then I'm not aware of the true state of affairs, my sin and my separation from him. It's only because I have looked, though, at the awful truth of the cross that I can so much more readily appreciate God coming to be with me on my own terms before I even knew I was broken. Truth or dare? Can I take the truth of what the cross is telling me about myself, my need for God, or do I dare to live without Jesus and do a chicken dance around my need for him? Or do I recognize the truth of my sin, like the thief hanging there who cried out to Jesus, Jesus, I deserve to die. I am a thief, but you are a giver, and you have done nothing wrong. And then take the dare in my sorry state to fall on God's mercy and ask Jesus, Jesus, remember me. That's what the thief asked Jesus for. Don't forget me, Jesus. There's something awfully wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. I am a sinner. You are truth and light. I take the dare to ask you to save me by your grace. Jesus, remember me. Jesus, rescue me by your mercy and only by your mercy alone. And of course, Jesus' response to the thief in all of us is giving us is that he gives us a free gift. We don't have to steal, which I think is interesting that there's two thieves on either side. It's a gift we don't have to steal. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, a lot of scholars have debated now, what does the word paradise really mean? And there's a lot of conjecture about that. I think the point of what Jesus' response to the thief is that the first part of that, you will be with me. Because I don't care where I am. If I'm with Jesus, it's got to be good, okay? I want to be with you, God. I want to be with you. Remember me. That's what the cross was for, reconciling us to him. The thing about God's love and forgiveness is that it is bigger than the horror of the cross. That's the message. But we can't grasp God's love until we take the dare to look at the truth of the grotesqueness of the cross and grasp the enormity of what he has rescued us from, right? But when we do, we find that there is also a truth and a dare in the resurrection as well. The truth of the resurrection is that God is victorious over the worst that evil can do. He reigns victorious over darkness. Nothing evil can destroy his living presence in our lives today either. That's the truth. Jesus burst forth from an empty tomb that is cold and dark and smells of death. Death, you see, that would separate us from him is the very vehicle he uses for our reconciliation to him by being triumphant over it. So today, when we cry out in whatever darkness we might find ourselves, in the circumstances of our lives, when we cry out, Jesus, remember me, just like the thief. Jesus, look down on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Like the thief on the cross, I know my need. His response is, today you can and will be with me because of the cross. Of course I will remember you. Of course. If the truth of the resurrection is that God is victorious over the worst that evil can do, guess what the dare of the resurrection is? The dare is this, folks, that you receive his living presence and trust his love for you today. And we don't do that very well. Sometimes we think that God loves everyone else but us, that he forgives everyone else, but sort of has a chip on his shoulder when it comes to me. So as you take communion today, I dare you to take in the fact that if you were the only one in the world, God would have gone to the cross just for you and risen victorious from the tomb just for you. God wants you to know that he chose you and you and you, the object of his affection, to rescue, to deliver, to save, to reconcile, so that we could be with him. The dare is, receive my love, believe in it, trust it, it's real. From the book, The Whisper Test, the author writes this. She writes, I grew up knowing I was different and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. And when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, what happened to your lip? I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow that seemed better than having been born with a deformity. I was convinced that no one outside of my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored. Her name was Mrs. Leonard, a sparkling personality. And annually, we had a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the hearing test to everyone in the class. Finally, it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited there for those words that God must have put into her mouth. Those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in a whisper, I wish you were my little girl. I wish you were mine. I choose you. You see, what blew people away about Jesus, what wrecked their worlds to an extent that they could never recover, was that he walked around saying, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I want you to be mine. What blew people away about Jesus was that love. And when we get that kind of love, then all of a sudden we start to recognize who it is we worship, and that because of his amazing grace, he has indeed chosen us. Remembered us. We are forgiven. We are set free. There is no condemnation. We have a God who went through hell to bring us heaven. We start to be so grateful for that love who pursued us and just refuses to give up on people, so we could be with him. I want you to be mine. I choose you. I'd like you to dare to ponder the truth of the cross today as we take communion now. Look at the cross and take the dare to look at it and be terrified by the truth of it. Where would we be without Jesus? And then after you really think about that, which is horrifying, allow yourself to recognize another truth, which is God's love. An ironclad eternal truth that says, I choose you. I remember you. Dare to believe it. Because that love is stronger than our darkness, victorious over the worst. Dare to receive the truth of that love just for you. Reach out like the thief on the cross did. And say, Jesus, there's something terribly wrong with me. I'm unworthy, but Jesus, remember me. Forgive me, Lord. I dare to receive the unspeakable gift of your great love. Let us pray together. Lord God, we come to this table this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to dare to believe in your love for us. As we take this communion, Lord, we ask that you would set these elements apart from a common to a sacred use, that as we take this bread and juice, we would be not only aware of our own sinfulness, but daring to believe that you do forgive us and that you do love us beyond our wildest dreams. Be with us now in these few moments as we participate in this sacred communion. Show us yourself, O Lord. Open our eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this as often as you would in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he supped, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you remember my death until I come again." Ministering to you, we give you the bread and the cup. This morning, we're going to be taking communion by intinction, which simply means that we're asking you to come forward this morning to receive. The ushers will let you go pew by pew in an orderly fashion. When we've done this before, it's gotten a little crowded, so we're just trying to do this in a little more orderly fashion. Take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice and partake that way. There will be two stations here at the front. Everyone who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is welcome to participate. These are the gifts of God for the people of God because of his great love for you that we dare to receive in these moments together.